yesterday I talked about how we got to stand up to the bullies, and freedom starts in the heart. Freedom doesn't come from government. Freedom must start inside the people. If you just go in and make a government free without it starting in the hearts of the people, it's not going to last. Same thing happens with revival. Revival starts in the hearts of the people praying for it, praying for revival for themselves. Dear Lord, have revival with myself. I need a come to Jesus moment about my life and about things in my life. Maybe I know Jesus, maybe I don't. Maybe I never want to know Jesus. But I need a come to Jesus moment about some things. Be the change you want to see in the world. It starts in the heart. The people, the individual people in a situation must, in their hearts, see the need to stand up to a bully. Maybe they'll only see the need afterwards and they'll be late bloomers. And you're not going to be telling people what to do very much if you're always running around. I mean, if you're part of the masses who criticizes the champion until he wins and then all of a sudden praises him once he does, you're not, no. There is no shortage of hatred. We don't have hate leaders in sports. We have cheerleaders. But when you're dealing with someone else's situation, there's only so much that you can do. And in your own situation, be the cheerleader for others. Be the change you want to see. Okay. Now, I want to explain the nature of crazy. I'm gonna draw this out here. Now, if you're not religious, pardon the religious mumbo jumbo, but there's a lot that we can study and gain and understand from the Bible on this. If you want to understand crazy people, I mean the crazy person who's running the whole family just by means of being crazy, you've got to understand Queen Jezebel of the Old Testament. Now, some people call it a Jezebel spirit. Explain to you what this is. However you want to parse it. There was a sermon from a pastor, and I usually don't like sermons from a lot of pastors. Mike Bickle, I can stand. This new guy that they've got leading at IHOP KC, the Fellowship, Forerunner Christian Fellowship, whatever it is, FCF. It's like the local congregation that looks after the house of prayer. It's an interesting thing. Spring Hill camps up in Michigan, Spring Hill, Indiana, their campuses combined make the largest camp in North America. And Spring Hill up in Everett, Michigan was the buildings there, the staff, it was built and managed by Trinity Fellowship in Big Rapids and by Crossroads Fellowship in Everett. And both of those were local congregations started by Enoch and Joan Olson. That ministry of Spring Hill was facilitated and run and managed by local congregations in that area. So a lot of the good international big Christian ministries are heavily managed by the local church. Moody Bible Institute is just up the street from Moody Church. And it is part of a greater network of Christians throughout the Chicago area. Well, I'll say Chicagoland area because people in Chicago like to call it that. I don't like to say Chicagoland, but I guess being a Chicago half-blood, just like Veers was abducted and got a blood transfusion and became part Cree, I've got the Moody blue blood in me also. So I've got to call it Chicagoland, I guess. The Moody Bible Institute has this local church that plays a very dominant role in what it does. And there's also the greater Christians around the area. Of course, Spring Hill also had Christians from people that aren't necessarily at that particular church. It's very interesting. There's a leader, IHOP KC, International House of Prayer. There's a local congregation that is heavily involved with them. Not mandatory membership, but it's heavily involved. Their pastor, I can stand him. Mike Bickle, I can stand him. Most other preachers, I can't stand. I only jive with the IHOP KC guys. I don't know why. Sorry for that rant, but maybe that just explains how the world works. I don't know. If you're not religious, there might be some applicability for that. You know, a company is going to be heavily influenced by the community that it's in. Okay, so this has been Random Social Factoids with Jesse. This one pastor was giving one of the few sermons that I could stand. And it was about the Elijah, or not Elijah, excuse me, the Elijah spirit's a different thing. In fact, interestingly, Elijah was the prophet that was standing up to the Jezebel, the Queen Jezebel bully. Queen Jezebel was a bully. She was killing everyone who would not join her child sacrifice cult. You had to join her cult where parents burned their children alive, and if you didn't, the only other option was to pray to the God of Israel. That's how it worked in those days. And if you didn't join her, she'd kill you. And Elijah was the prophet in those days, standing up to Queen Jezebel. And she wasn't even the ruler. Her husband, King Ahab, was actually the king that was in charge of everything. But she was the throne behind the throne. And she bossed around her dog-beaten husband. And the Elijah spirit, the idea, don't turn your brain off if you're not religious. Hear me out. A spirit doesn't have to be a religious thing. The concept of Elijah is that the Elijah can stand against the bully and will reconcile different generations. You got older, younger generations. He'll help them get along again. He'll help parents and children love each other. He'll help older and younger generations care about each other. And that's what Elijah, an Elijah type, does. And that comes back to John the Baptist and the Old Testament. There's a lot in the Bible about that. Jezebel, Queen Jezebel, she was number two in charge. She was not the real one on the throne. She was number two in charge. And second of all, hear me on this. I'm trying to spell out what crazy looks like. Because if you've not dealt with a bully yelling at you, you might be dealing with the sneaky, sneaky part. Okay, remember I said that when bullies take over, it's sneaky and slow and creepy, and it's like the slow-moving python. It's the frog in the pot. It's the slippery slope. And you might be, if you've not been yelled at and screamed at by bullies much in your life, you might have a Jezebel type of person, someone with a Jezebel disorder, controlling you, and you don't know it. It's possible. Queen Jezebel was the number two in charge, and she really wanted to help her husband, the king. And that's what it comes down to. A Jezebel type, the Jezebel archetype, crazy. This type of crazy, the person really feels, the crazy person genuinely, truly feels that they just want to help you. They really feel this, and they get close. Well, classic example of a Jezebel type was Vice President Underwood. You know, he came along. He actually thought he was helping stuff. At the very beginning of the program, he mercy killed the dog that had been hit by the car because he thought he was doing a favor. Remember the guy, the guy that did the ribs, the guy that owned the rib shop. On account of Frank Underwood, that whole rib shop got closed down. Frank really believed that he had helped that guy. So I, you know, now he was trying to hurt the president at the same time in the House of Cards story. He was trying to hurt the president at the same time that he was taking over as vice president. But he had this sense that he was doing something useful somehow. If you know someone who really wants to help you, and they're getting too close and they're amassing power while you're in charge, be careful. That's where bullies come in. Nobody should get too close to try to help you while you stay in charge and they're whispering in your ear. That's Scream of Wormtongue, the Two Towers. Remember the old ugly, nasty, gothic dressed guy that was whispering in the crazy king's ear in the Golden Hall in the Two Towers, Lord of the Rings? Yeah. So that's your classic Jezebel type. This was kind of the boring podcast for the week. Explaining what crazy looks like, how it thinks. You know, David and Jonathan. Jonathan was a Jezebel type before Queen Jezebel's time. Jonathan was David's best buddy. They were BFF. But Jonathan was the son of King Saul. And David was not one of Saul's children, but he was set to legally be the next king. And Jonathan wasn't sure how this would go down politically, if his father would stay king or if David would become king. And so if his father stayed king, Jonathan would be the next king. And if that failed and David became king, well, he was there as David's best friend. And he told David, I'll be right there beside you when you're ruling. Jonathan really believed he was helping David. But in the end, what did Jonathan do for David? What did he do? Tell him to run away. And then died with his idiot father. Jonathan died with his idiot father. He never did help David. Beware. Beware of the number two man who comes in and tries to steal stuff. And if you have to stand up to a bully, do it. Because freedom has to start in the heart. And freedom is not the absence of fear. But it's the genuine belief that something other than our fear is more important. I'm borrowing that quote from a movie. We probably borrowed it from someone else. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's the belief that something else is more important. So whatever you've got to deal with, stand up to it. Because over here in Asia, we're having to stand up to this bully of China. And in Taiwan, boys have to stand up to their mothers. I was talking about a kid at the skate park the other day about how this happens in the culture, that the people all over the place have to stand up. Talking with a college student. He's a junior in college. He's an art student. And he's told me he's had to stand up to the bullies of the Asian culture here in Taiwan. And that more and more people are standing up to it. All over the world, people are standing up to bullies. It starts in the heart. Join them. See you next week.